The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
Yes, indeed. We're back for another edition of Raised by Wolves. Benny Hill, Derek James here for another edition, number 113 for us.
And we asked me something earlier, and I never answered it. And that was, did we get any questions today? And we did. I just didn't count them up, but I know they're there.
Well, I noticed my notifications were blowing up, and most of them were not even questions.
Yeah, it was reliving Pick Up Hoops dreams back with the Roop Chat guys, back when that was a thing. And it's like, wow, that's like 10 years ago, almost.
Good times.
Which is crazy.
Good times. We are the Raised by Wolves podcast. I'm Manny Hill. That is the voice of Derek James that you hear. And we got a lot to talk about with the Timberwolves. The NBA draft was this past Thursday. And the Wolves had two picks. They take Josh Okogie. Was he a sophomore?
Yes, he was a sophomore.
Okay. So he was a sophomore from Georgia Tech. 6'4", about 205, 210-pound guard, 7-foot wingspan. The athletic measurables check out for him. I think just sort of the question marks are the three-point shooting, which is a pretty significant need for this team.
Like, he might be able to shoot. Right. We just don't really know. He shot 38% in college pretty much everywhere, and both seasons. And then when he got to his ACC games in his sophomore year, all of a sudden he dropped down to like 36%.
Mm-hmm.
And that dropped his numbers a little bit. So I don't know if we really know who he is as a shooter. And then you factor in the college line and NBA defenses. And you just wonder how it's all going to shake out. And people who watch more than we do have said that his release is a little slow. And when you look at game highlights of him, you do kind of see that a little bit. It's not the quickest release in the world,
right?
But things like that you can at least tweak. So if that's what's really holding him back is a weird release. I mean, they got the hitch out of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist jumper.
Yeah.
I mean, all things are possible.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like for every MKG, there's a MCW. There's a Michael Carter Williams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's, I mean, I, 38% doesn't scare me, but I'm not 100% sold that he is a shooter.
No. You know what I mean? And that's Jimmy Butler in a good year. And in today's NBA, that's pretty average efficiency. I just think that if it drops, it's going to, of course, be below average right away. But what I think is at least maybe encouraging is that he was consistently 38% in both seasons.
Right.
There wasn't this weird, up and down over 2 or 3 years, or that year that Derek Williams shot 58% and everyone's like, Derek Williams should shoot threes. And it's like, he shot 32% the year before. Like, why would you think that he could take them now?
And the Derek Williams' sophomore year at Arizona, when he hit 58% from three or whatever it was, he took like 20 threes the entire season. Like, he didn't even take that many. But, with Okogie, we'll see. I mean, I think the most standout portion of him is just that it's the wingspan, the 7-foot wingspan. And there's a thought that he can be a really good defender with that. Now, there's more. You and I, we both know, and I think a lot of smart people who follow basketball know that there's more to defense than just having the physical measurables. Like, you got to understand
if measurables made you a good defender, Wiggins would be a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, exactly. And Towns, for that matter.
Yeah.
I think I'm fine with the pick. I mean, I don't I didn't watch any Georgia Tech basketball this year, so I can't.
That's
even
weird.
It's funny. I used to, when I was in high school, I used to want to go to Georgia Tech for whatever reason. That was just like a school I wanted to go to.
The uniforms and the colors are kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, in the similar yellow jackets.
Those yellow jacket logos are kind of mean.
Yeah,
but what I like about this pick is that it kind of shows that the team is recognizing what a wing is in today's NBA.
Yeah.
And what traits are most valuable about them. Not the ability, you know, to back it down for 17 seconds and hoist a contested mid-range jumper with toughness and grit. I mean, you have to be versatile and be able to defend 2 to 4 different positions.
Yeah.
At least.
And that was something that this team has been really missing.
Well, I think they really miss Chris Dunn.
Yeah. They just don't have any versatility at all. I mean, Jimmy Butler's the only guy that you can really look at and say, this guy can lock down a couple of different positions. You know, and Taj has a little bit of versatility in that he can defend both front court spots pretty well. But they don't, you know, Wiggins is supposed to be a guy that can defend a few different positions, but he just doesn't do that well enough. Towns is supposed to be pretty versatile defensively, and we saw a lot of lapses over the course of the season. So, you know, and they didn't really have the defense of the bench was not good at all, like ever. I mean, Tyus was okay in certain spots, but Jamal Crawford was, all due respect to Jamal, he was a complete sieve on the defensive end. I think just the numbers can show that.
He's also 38 years old.
Right, right. And Jamal, I mean, I think we all kind of know Jamal's never really, defense has never really been like a strong suit for him. He's always just been.
You didn't look at that signing and expect like great defense out of Jamal
right.
Crawford.
Jamal's been, for the most part of his entire career, he's just been a bucket getter, and I think there's value for that. But on a team that has so many other weaknesses on defense, you just can't. You know, it just wasn't a good fit, and you need to be able to have some guys that you can bring in off your bench that can defend a few different positions for you. And with Okogie, we'll see if we can see that from him. Now, the question, and I think this would apply for Keita Bates-Diop, too, the guy they got in the second round, who was the Big Ten Player of the Year at Ohio State. I think the biggest question is going to be development, and we've talked about this before. Is Tom Thibodeau going to develop these guys, and is he going to be, you know, and I don't just mean develop behind the scenes – in practice, I mean, I want to see some in-game development. Like, I want to see Josh Okogie play.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be the minutes police here and say, he needs to play 30 minutes and he needs, you know, him and Keita Bates-Diop, they both need to play at least 25 minutes a night. But I just want to see if Okogie in particular.
Can we do like 8 minutes each night? Somehow,
yeah.
Find a way to make that happen.
And to me, depending on what you do in free agency, and we'll get into free agency a little bit because I think somebody asked us a question on free agency.
I think a few people asked us a question on free agency.
But depending on how free agency goes, to me, I feel like there's minutes that can be had with these two guys. Okogie in particular, because he was, you know, he was a first round pick, and there's upside to him. So, I mean, I want to see these guys get some run, and that could mean if you're up by 20 with 2 minutes left in the game and the other team has waved the white flag. I always go back to that Clippers game. Remember that Clippers game?
Yep.
Here at Target Center, and the Wolves were up by like 15 with,
it was like 25, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It might have been 20 plus with like 2 minutes left, and Doc Rivers has clearly waved the white flag because he's got Sam Decker and Wes Johnson in the game. Okay? So Doc Rivers has basically said, okay, yeah, this game's over. Let's just get the hell out of Dodge here and, you know, play, you know, get ready for the next game. And you look around and it's like Teague and Wiggins and Towns. I think this was while Jimmy was hurt. Was still hurt.
I thought it was the starters plus Crawford. Oh, which still could be the case.
Might have been, because I think this was one of the games that Butler missed. Butler was out at the time. But it was like Teague and Wiggins and Towns and Taj, I think for sure, were like in the game. It's like you're up by 20 plus with 2 minutes left. That to me, in the middle of a season, that to me is when you can get some good run out of your young players that you're trying to develop, because you might get to a situation like they were this year where one of your main rotation guys gets hurt, and you got to have somebody that at least is warmed up a little bit
or comfortable.
And they're just, I think that's why when Jimmy Butler got hurt, and then, you know, when Jeff Teague had to miss a few games, that you put Marcus George's Hunt in, and there were times where he looked like he had a deer in the headlights. He had a couple nice games where, you know, he did some nice things, but for the most part, he was just overmatched, and that was just because early in the season, he wasn't playing. He wasn't getting any run at all. Anthony Brown, you couldn't use Anthony Brown at all late in the year when you needed wing depth, especially.
Well, I just don't think that you can replicate live games in practice.
Right.
I mean, you need to not just...
Even garbage time can be valuable for a young player.
Yeah, just get him, you know, experience with his teammates on the floor against NBA competition. Have them dribble the ball off their foot when they're up by 18 and go, all right, get back on defense and
instead
get
of
back.
In a tight game late in the season when you're trying to get an eighth spot.
And then you're screaming at them like a lunatic because they're not prepared for the situation. It's too big for them.
Right.
It just seems like a pretty big, just from a leadership standpoint, it would be ideal to empower them and have them feel like they're ready and that, you know, you have confidence in them, you know, should you call on them. It just doesn't seem like a good use of really the roster spots. But hopefully now that he's drafted these guys, they actually, you know, he actually gives them some burn. But yeah. I think we saw with Chris Dunn, I mean, I think if guys are willing to defend, and granted Dunn was taken fifth, they should be able to see the floor for at least a little bit.
Yeah.
It's at least worth tinkering with, too. I mean, that's the thing here. I mean, if Andrew is struggling, you know, and he's on one of his 2-for-12 nights and not really guarding anyone or not really
not
grabbing
any,
yeah, exactly. Put Okogie in, you know?
Yeah.
Light a fire under Wiggins's butt. Like, hey, you're playing 27 minutes a year, but you're losing minutes to the 20th overall pick because he's willing to try. And yeah. Take good shots. But that was actually, I guess, the problem with Okogie is that his game within the arc is pretty weak. He doesn't really have much of a jumper.
Right.
It's a lot.
Was his mid-range percentage was like 40% or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, his two-point percentage was like low to mid-40s
yeah.
in a good year. You look at his highlights, and again, it's a lot of putbacks, offensive rebounds, rolls to the rim, points in transition, which is a lot of fun. But you just don't want to see him fall into those habits with Wiggins and those guys. You want to yeah. see him learn good habits and not just settle. And I think that's one reason why you do want to get him on the floor and get him comfortable so he doesn't settle for those shots just to get something up.
And how much of this, too, is just system? I mean, I saw in the piece you wrote this week on Okogie is that, you know, the Wolves, their offense, they take a lot of mid-range shots. They take a lot of long
They play twos. Right into his weaknesses.
Yeah, and, you know, so to me, I just feel like there's got to be, and we've said this even before the draft, even before they took Josh Okogie, is there's got to be a little bit of an adjustment to me just with the system. And, you know, you cannot survive in today's NBA with just, When your offense is centered around 15 to 19 foot jump shots, like you can't, I'm not saying you got to go all Houston Rockets on this where every shot you take is inside or behind the 3-point line.
But here's the thing with the Rockets, you know what happened to them like against the Spurs, I think last year,
mm-hmm.
they ran them off the 3-point line, took away the lanes, forced them to pull up for mid-range jumpers and they couldn't hit them.
Right.
And they weren't getting the calls because it's the playoffs and nobody calls that. So they go and get Chris Paul because he can actually punish teams from the mid-range in that area as well as get to the rim.
It's about having a mix. It's about having a mix. Like, that's how you become really, really good offensively is you have – I mean, this is kind of an unfair example, but the Warriors – I mean, the Warriors have, you know
– The
two greatest shooters of all time and four All-Stars and – maybe even four future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup. So it's kind of an unfair comparison. But when you look at, you know, you've got Steph and Clay that drill threes all over the place. You've got Draymond, who is a terrific playmaker, even though he's not really a great shooter anymore. And Durant, while he's obviously a terrific three-point shooter, but you look at Durant's getting mid-range. He's taking mid-range shots, but he's hitting them.
Durant is George Gervin 2.0.
Yeah. So the Warriors, and again, not a fair comparison because of who they are, but that is what makes them so dynamic offensively, is that they have a little bit of a mix of everything. And when your offense is just centered around one thing, you can be easily neutralized. And so I think with Okoji, I think you're going to have to establish, you know, have more of a focus on a three-point offense, just because that he shoots threes probably better than he shoots twos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just play to the strength of your players.
Or, you know, put him in pick-and-roll situations or in some sort of motion offense where he can be free to, you know, come off a screen and get roll right to the rim, something that keeps him going.
Yeah. So, let's get to some of the questions that we got. Let's see here.
Man, real quick.
Sure.
So the Wolves draft three guards. Well, two guards, and then they sign Jared Terrell to a two-way contract. And they're going to bring back Derrick Rose? Like, do you see room for that?
Oh, Tom Thibodeau will find some room. For Derrick Rose, he would find some room.
You know, he has a Derrick Rose-shaped hole in his heart.
Yeah. He loves Derrick Rose, and because Derrick played well in the playoffs, there's going to be – Tibbs is going to – I don't imagine that they will – well, maybe they will. Maybe they will. I was going to say I don't imagine that they would eat into the mid-level to bring Derrick Rose back, but –
That would just be financial management malpractice right there.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just, I don't know. Derrick Rose, I just don't understand.
Like, what's the upside there? At least these three guys, including Jared Terrell, who they signed to a two-way deal.
Yeah.
There's at least some upside there. There's something that you can mold into an NBA player in your vision. I mean... But you want to stick with Derrick Rose rather than actually coaching and teaching. You're like, well, he already gets it, so this is going to be easier.
Yeah, I just don't.
Oh, Bates is a small forward, my bad. But yeah. Still, it's another wing. Yeah. I mean, in the NBA today, you're either a ball handler or a wing pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand the – it's like why – look, I mean – and we've been over this before with Derrick Rose. At the time when they brought him in, I didn't love it, but I kind of understood it from the standpoint of, okay, Butler's hurt. They're really, really thin on the wing right now, and they just need a body. They just need somebody that can come in and give them some minutes and give them a spark off the bench. And Derrick did a nice job of that. But I don't understand this idea that we have to bring him back. You know, like I just don't understand the idea of just this absolute need. Like we're not going to be able to get through next season unless we have Derrick Rose back. Like that's just kind of the sense that I'm getting from. And again, we had Tibbs on the ride on Friday, the day after the draft, and we didn't ask him about Derrick Rose at all. We just kind of we pretty much just talked about, you know, Okoji and Bates Diop. But you know, I just get this sense that Tibbs is just not going to be able to help himself, and he wants Derrick Rose back really bad, and he's going to try and do it. And I don't know. I just don't really understand, unless you go through free agency and you can't sign anybody, and you just can't get anybody to sign with you, and you need bodies, then I kind of get the idea of maybe bringing Derrick Rose back. But other than that, I just don't see the reason, especially like you said, when you drafted a guard, you drafted another wing player, you're bringing in two other guards in rookie free agents. So what? I just don't understand the idea of just bringing Derrick Rose back. I don't get
it. Well, and apparently you promised Tyus that Tyus would play more. And I don't see how that's possible when you add Rose back into the mix. Because either Rose is going to be unhappy or Tyus is going to be unhappy. And you have a problem either way.
And my thing is, you got to make a decision on Tyus here pretty soon. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because Towns and Tyus are on the same timeline. So, obviously, this summer and going into the next season, the talk is going to be about Towns signing an extension, and obviously there's going to be conversations about Butler and his future and everything. But you got to make a decision on Tyus, too. And if Tyus is going to – if he's not part of your future, I mean, you might want to play him a little bit to try and get – trying to push his value up so you can get something for him.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to try to, I think if you're not going to play him, you do have to try to trade him for something.
Right. I mean, exactly. Like, if he's not part of your plans and he's not going to play, then you do need to explore some options of moving him. If he is going to, if he is not part of your plans and you don't feel like you can get anything for him right now, then you're going to need to play him so that maybe you can get something for him down the line at the deadline next season or something. Or you need to play him because you do view him as a part of your future and he also needs to continue to develop and get better too. So, I don't know.
I think we actually did answer Jake Painting's question.
Which was?
Do you see KBD or Okoji playing more minutes next season? Love the pod, fellas. Thank you, Jake.
Yeah, thank you. I honestly, my first thought is I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm not even sure I can. I guess there's two different questions, right? It's would we like to see them get more minutes versus will they actually get more minutes? And when we had Tibbs on the ride on Friday.
It's will they, I think, is the question here.
Yeah, I mean, because we had Tibbs on the ride on Friday, and and Pat just kind of asked him about, hey, what do you see for them right away type of thing. And Tibbs, he dropped the old line of, minutes have to be earned, which I get it. Okay. But, these guys have got to get developed, man. Like I've been harping on this for months. You've got to turn these young guys, Patton, Okoji, maybe to a lesser extent, Bates Diop, just because he was a second-round pick, and you kind of anything you get out of a second-round pick is kind of viewed as a bonus. But you got to start getting something out of these younger guys because you need them. That's how you get to be a champion, a serious championship-contending team. Is that you develop, even if Okoji is going to be a role player for you, like even if that's his ceiling, that's all he is, like. He needs to be a really, really good role player for you.
He needs to be the best at whatever that is. Even if he just comes in and grabs rebounds and, guards guys. Okay, make him as good at those things as you possibly can.
And, it's important. It's important because, these guys, they're on their rookie deals, so they're cheap. And you've already got a lot of money invested into the payroll of this team. So you need to get some cheap breaks so that you don't have to overcompensate and spend a lot of money on somebody in free agency that ends up putting you further over the luxury tax and all of that other stuff. So they got to hit on these picks, man. And Okoji needs to be something. He needs to turn into something. And you've got to, Tibbs and those guys, they got to develop him into something, even if it is just a role player. If he ends up, somebody tweeted at me, after they picked him, they were like, is this guy going to be Wesley Matthews 2.0 or something like that? I said, if you can get a Wesley Matthews type of player with the 20th pick in the draft, let's go.
Oh, I'm here for that.
I'm here for that. I'm good with that. So if Josh Okoji ends up being Wesley Matthews, let's go. I'm good with that. But he's got to be that. Like, that's kind of what you want him to turn into.
He's
you
not
know?
Necessarily going to get that playing in Iowa or watching the other guys off the bench, you know, or from the bench, I should say.
And look, I understand if they go into training camp and he just has deer in the headlights and he has no clue what's going on and you don't want to throw him out there right away, I get it. But
Rick Edelman didn't play Gorgui Jang until Peck got hurt in the February of his rookie year. Shabazz Muhammad didn't play until March.
Right.
I mean, some guys, it takes a while. I mean, Gorgui looked awful early. Shabazz looked awful. But that's the thing. At least you know, and you know, everyone else can see, okay, they're very not ready. We get why you're not playing this guy.
Right.
And, you know, people
want to see it.
Yeah. If he sucks, fine. You know, season him a little more and then try it again later on. And that's the thing, too. If he's bad early, work on it and don't give up on it and bring it back. I mean, I can't think of another coach I've seen for this team who has been so against playing young players unless they're Chris Dunn. They just have to get better. And I mean, maybe it's because we haven't really covered playoff teams and young guys don't really give you the best chance at winning. But if you're already going to win, like, what's the harm?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that he needs to get that either of these guys need to get thrown to the wolves, right? You know, no pun intended there. I'm not saying throw them out there and play them heavy minutes right away, but, you know, and if they're on the active roster, if they're not in Iowa, they're on the active roster and you're up by 20 with 2 minutes left, put them in the game. Put them in the game. Let them play. Let them get their feet wet. Let them get a sense of NBA game action, even if it is garbage time. Like, because what are you gaining by continuing to have your starters out there? What are your starters gaining?
Right.
You know?
Nothing.
So, but anyway. So, questions. Let's see here.
We did get a few.
Yeah, we did get a few. Our guy, he hate me. He goes, does Derek remember playing pickup ball with me? Which, that turned into a very long Twitter conversation.
Yeah, and all the other Rip Jetters pulled into that, who we all used to play. That was when I had my major ankle sprain issues, too, and I had to take, like, 6 months off because I had five sprains within 2 months or 3 months.
Oof.
On each, and it was three on one side, two on the other.
Oof.
It started, I was really overweight at the time, playing in a church league in the winter. I went up for a rebound, landed right on my ankle, and that was the end of that season, of course. And then I came back in the winter and the spring and sprained it two more times, twice on each side. And then I took a time off, and that's when I was playing with those guys. But there were some good moments. I remember there were some good moments still when I was actually healthy. But yeah, no, it was a good time. And it was always a really mix of people, as you can imagine, from an internet message board.
He also goes on to ask, is Joe Harris a good target for the mid-level if Rose is back on the Vets minimum deal?
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the Nets this year, other than, you know, the two times they played the Wolves.
I think once Jeremy Lin went down, I'm like, this team's going to be too thin.
Yeah. But, you know, Joe Harris had a nice little season for them. I mean, he shot, 42% from three, averaged about 11 points a game. And, I mean, if you need shooting, obviously, and I think if you can get him on a decent mid-level deal, I'd be all right with getting Joe Harris.
Yeah, I think you could do a lot worse from that. One thing I do want to see here... Yeah, he's assisted about every season 92 to all of his shots, all of his threes. He doesn't, which means he doesn't create a lot for himself. He doesn't need the ball in his hand a ton. Just stands in the corner, hoists shots when he has them, which is perfect. The Wolves have, you know, if you have Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, Karl Anthony Towns, all those guys can handle the ball. And that's even before you get to the bench. You don't necessarily need another guy to put the ball on the floor. So if right. you have a guy who's just happy to catch and shoot when he's has the look, great. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at his. I'm looking at Joe Harris's stats now. Yeah, 10.8 points, 41.9 from three, so 42% from three. Yeah, shot 49% from the floor overall. I mean, I don't imagine he'll be terribly expensive. You could probably get him for the mid level. I don't know if it would take the entire mid level. Maybe because shooting is such a premium these days in the NBA, but I mean, I think that is he is the type of guy that you probably want to target in free agency. You don't need any more bigs. You don't. I mean, I guess maybe they could.
Well, if you trade Gorgie and Belly goes elsewhere, yeah, then you do.
Then you do. But as of right now, like if Gorgie's going to be around, then I don't really think you need to. And you figure
actually even then
I mean you should get
because then
mean,
you would still have Patton Towns well, yeah Cole, I was just, and Taj
I was just gonna say yeah I mean you've got
maybe one
you got Justin Patton and you figure to get something out of him this coming season right now you had the setback again you had to get another surgery on the foot but you figure you're gonna get something out of him so they don't need any more bigs, man. Like, they need wings. They need versatility. They need three-point shooting. They just need to – they've got plenty of roster spots open.
Get the 6'5", 6'6", guy that can guard fours. I know those guys are readily available for cheap, but get those guys.
Yeah. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, I'd be fine with Joe Harris. Let's see. I'm not seeing any more questions showing up on mine. Did you get any more?
Yeah, I did. Who is the best free agent? Tyler Klein at underscore Tyler Klein asks, who is the best free agent the Wolves could realistically sign with the mid-level? And Derek, why are you so good looking? Wow, Tyler, that last part was really unexpected. there are definitely a couple once you get down to the lower rung.
Trying to think of off the top of my head. I don't really have a list in front
Danny
of me.
Danny Green is probably going to be out of their price range. I imagine someone...
Is Danny Green a free agent?
Danny Green...
I thought he was under contract for like...
Player option.
Oh, player option.
Will Barton, but...
they ain't going to afford Will
he's Barton. He's going to be too pricey.
Yeah, Will Barton's going to get paid, man.
Wayne Ellington? I like Wayne.
Yeah, I'd take him.
It would be amazing. It would probably take the entire mid-level to get Rudy Gay. But he can't really shoot.
Yeah, and yeah, it would take the entire... Well, because Rudy just opted out of...
And he's had a good year or two in San Antonio, too.
Yeah. Well, he was making, what, 10 in San Antonio, and he opted out of that?
8.8. So pretty much.
So...
Oh, yeah. Man. Seth Curry.
Hmm.
Hey, the Wolves can finally get their Curry.
They can finally get a Curry, yeah.
It might be the wrong one, but it's a Curry. Yeah, Rodney Hood, man. God, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, too.
Yeah, he's probably going to get paid, though, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm just not that wild about him, I guess.
Yeah.
I think everyone wants him to be a 3-and-D guy, but he's not quite a 3-and-D guy.
Right. He's just kind of a 35-36% three-pointer. He's an okay defender.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was actually pretty good for the Lakers defensively this year. But so I think it's there. I think the defense is there, but I don't know if he's really consistently shown it. Rodney Hood is...
No, I'm good.
Yeah, man, I just, he was really, really bad in the playoffs, man.
Well, not only that, I guess there was a game that he didn't want to go into. I don't know if there's, like, some, like, anxiety stuff going on, isn't in and of itself a deal breaker. But there are other things that, he just doesn't feel comfortable in certain situations, whatever it is. There are some question marks there, and, is there a plan for it? And things like that, and how much can it be managed? Like, those are some other things I think of with Hood.
Rodney Hood, at first glance, you would think would be almost the perfect candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not, I mean, he's in his mid-20s. He's a pretty decent athlete. In theory, he can hit the three-pointer
and defend
a couple different positions, but you just wonder with just like how bad he was in the playoffs, and there's questions about just attitude and all of that. Like, that's just a guy that I would not want to give like a 3-year, you know, 24 or 25 million dollar, you know, mid-level contract to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you would probably have to give him the entire mid-level, right?
Someone's gonna do something stupid and force you to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, you get down there, Mario Hezonja, Garrett Temple, Marco Bellinelli. Tolliver's more of a big.
Hezonja's interesting because the Magic, like, gave up on him. They basically said they weren't going to pick up the last year, the last year of his rookie deal. And then he showed up and actually improved a little bit.
Because he knew he was leaving Orlando.
Yeah. And now I saw something a few weeks ago that they're thinking about trying to bring him back, but you know, I mean, he's okay. I mean,
but here's the thing, like, Orlando isn't exactly, you know, your hotspot for player development.
Right.
I mean, if he was like, he went to San Antonio and it's like, oh, he was terrible, you'd be like, oh, that's not good. Or like, if Brad Stevens was like, I don't know, I can't get anything out of the guy, you're like, okay, he's probably garbage.
Right.
But coming out of Orlando, you're like, well, there could be something here still. And I mean, he's only
like 22, maybe, because he was a kid when they drafted him, right?
23,
yeah. I figured he was still pretty young. Yeah, I mean, you might be able to get him.
I guess, what does it cost?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to come. That's what a lot of these
and
guys
how many
are gonna,
years?
Yeah, because ideally, I mean, in a perfect world, if you could get two guys with the mid-level.
Split it, yeah.
And split it. That would be gravy. But if you could, you know, if you get Hezonja for the full mid-level, or, you know, a Wayne Ellington for the full mid-level, and they produce for you, then, you know, that would work. There wouldn't be any complaints on my end. But it would be great to, like, it would be great for them to get, like, two guys with the mid-level that nobody's really expecting a whole lot out of, and they both just end up being really,
really
good.
Don't you just want to be able to say, like, wow, this front office fooled everyone?
Yeah.
That's something we have not been able to say with this team.
Yeah.
In reality, I mean, they might just wind up trading Gorgui for Joakim Noah and Jimmy Butler for Luol Deng. People hated all my fake trades as soon as all that stuff ramped up. But they were fun.
Goodness. Anything else? Did we get any other questions?
I think there was one more. Let's see. Tyler, someone asked me one, but didn't include you in it.
Okay.
But I think that's from my quote tweet. Katya just liked it, didn't ask a question. Joe just liked it, didn't ask a question. LW Productions liked it, didn't ask a question. Come on. Oh. Realistic trade target for the Wolves from SB at VikingsKing888. It's not fair after we get questions from royalty, so we should probably answer the question or beheaded or drawn and quartered.
Realistic trade targets. It's tough because...
Do we usually know when a lot of these guys are available? Like, did we know the Celtics were going to trade Avery Bradley last summer?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Like, whoa, Avery Bradley? Like, we knew they didn't want to pay him. So, I mean, those are usually the kind of guys that move. And
he's another potential name in free agency, too. I don't know if the Clippers are going to bring him back.
That's something not nice to say, but I won't say it.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean... No. I was gonna bring up Damari Carroll again, but I mean, it'd have to be like Gorgui, just to like match the salary, but you'd have to attach something else along with Gorgui because Gorgie's got more years left on his deal.
Yeah. I mean, if there's just someone that, you know, they're coveting.
But the Nets will have the Nets do have an opening for a potential rotation big man now that Dwight Howard is going to be bought out.
Yeah.
And they don't have Mozgov anymore.
We got to circle back to that.
Yes, we will.
But, I mean, do you call Portland for someone like Mo Harkless or something? I mean, the thing
is,
though.
Portland do a deal with you? That's the other question, right?
Probably not.
I don't know if Portland would.
But if you could shed salary for them somehow. I don't know how the Wolves could do it since they're so over the cap. But it's going to have to be something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how you pull it off. Maybe, I mean, Tyus is really one of their best trade assets.
Yeah.
When you think of it that way. I mean, so it's a good question. It's a tough question, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would think if you're trying to match salaries, Gorgie would have to be in the deal. But Gorgie's contract is not very good right now, and he had a bad year. So you'd have to attach something else of value to it.
Are there teams watching who've watched Gorgie's whole career and say, wow, he was suddenly bad this one year when he wasn't used? Like, he played all the other years and looked good, didn't play this year and looked awful.
I just, my thing is if I'm looking at that, like I agree with you. My only thing is, like, Gorgie was so bad at times. And I don't, and because of, like, I think people would look at Gorgie and say, yeah, he had a bad year, but, you know, that year might be an outlier and we could have some use for this guy. I think teams are more inclined to do that if he was making like $9 or $10 million a year.
But Manny, even for the things that he does well, are there teams out there that are going to want to pay him $16, $17, $18 million
a year? That's just it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think if he was making 9 or 10, I think there's a team that would look at him and say, you know what, this year might have been an outlier, and we'll look at, you know, what he did the year before and say, yeah, we'll take on this guy. But it's $16, $17 million a year. I just don't think Gorgie does some nice things, but I just don't think there's enough of a need for what he does that somebody would be willing to take on that contract without something else of value attached.
Well, and that's the thing with like calling Portland about like Al-Farouq Aminu or or Mo Harkless is like they don't want to take any big salary back that goes for longer than the deals they already have on the books.
Right. If the Blazers are going to move Mo Harkless, they're going to want to move it because he's making too much money for their liking, and they want to. And there's multiple years left, and they want to get
rid of
that contract.
Well, hey, if you didn't pay Myers Leonard and Evan Turner a boatload of money at the stroke of midnight in free agency, they wouldn't be in this position now, would they?
The Myers Leonard thing is still baffling to me. Like, why?
I guess Neil had too much pride.
Like, why? What had? I mean.
Apparently, it's really hard to draft a guy and then later on admit that he sucks. So instead, you give him a lot of someone else's money.
I mean, Evan Turner, to a degree, it was still bad to give Evan Turner that much money.
I laughed for 15 minutes straight.
With Evan Turner, at least we've seen him do some good things.
Under Brad Stevens.
Right. But, like, Myers Leonard had done nothing. Nothing. Like, what? What had he done to even, like, to where you say, it, to me, it's kind of like, no, I don't think Myers Leonard is as bad as Darko was, but to me, it was just kind of like when Khan gave Darko that 4-year contract, and it's like, what had he done?
Who are you negotiating against?
Who are you negotiating against? Like, really? Like, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the Wolves just don't really have... You know, the assets that they had were, you know, was the draft pick, and they're not going to move Okoji, I don't think. Doesn't sound like they're going to.
No.
Include him in anything. So, and they can't until August anyway, right? Is that the deal? Like, after he signed his contract, they can't move him until August?
I believe
even
so.
Even if they wanted to. But, I mean, it doesn't sound like they're going to want to do that anyway. So now the only real thing of value that you have is Tyus, because he's a young player that plays a position that, you know, you can't really have enough of. And, you know, Taj kind of has some value because he's an expiring, but
Tom Thibodeau would rather lay down a 394 during rush hour.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, Tibbs is not going to want to trade one of his guys, you know, and a guy who was actually good for you. Like, Taj had a good year for them. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be free agency. It's going to be the mid-level. I think that's the tool that they have.
Or maybe they get involved in a three-team deal. Yeah. And someone else finds a way to absorb some salary from one of the teams. I don't know. Also, I'm not expecting anything on the trade front. But you never know. I mean, things do come up out of nowhere. And you're always surprised that, you know, this team got that player for that package, you know. So I wouldn't rule anything out. It just doesn't seem like the first thing that I would lean towards as far as improving this team this summer.
And the other thing with Gorgui, too, if you move Gorgui Dieng, you're trying to move it for a shorter contract that probably has around the same amount of money, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's really the only thing, because you're not... Even if you just dump Gorgie's salary on somebody else and don't take any money back, that's not going to get you over the salary cap.
Over or under?
Or, I'm sorry, it's not going to get you under the salary cap.
Nothing is for a long time.
Right. So, I just don't, and because of that, like, I just don't see anybody that's going to want to swoop in and just say, hey, yeah, we'll take Gorgie's 3 years and 50-some million dollars left. I mean, yeah, we'll gladly take that. Like, I just don't see that, you know. So now you're in a situation where you have what you have. You can use your mid-level to get, you know, a guy or two, and you're just going to have to run it back with what you have.
You know, I do like the idea, though. So far they've replaced Jamal Crawford and, for now, Derrick Rose, mm-hmm. with two young players who have at least some potential.
Right.
I mean, that's at least encouraging. And Bates' job doesn't really seem to be able to shoot. So, I mean, aside from that, they both seem to fit kind of the prototype that NBA teams are looking for at their positions.
I saw a couple of Luke Bamute comparisons with Bates Diop, which I can kind of see that. I mean, Luke Bamute is not really a three-point shooter, although he kind of became one with the Rockets because that's just what they do. But, I mean, he's long, he's athletic, he's versatile in theory. I mean, that's what they're hoping for. So, I mean, they could use somebody that can just, you know, be a defender, and we'll see. But nonetheless, it will be an interesting offseason. I do think something is going to happen. I do think they're going to sign somebody with the mid-level.
Oh, yeah.
I do get the sense Derrick Rose is going to be back, because I think that he's one of Tibbs' guys. And I know we had Jace Frederick on the ride last week, and Jace said, yeah, it looks like they're, you know, they liked what they saw from him in the playoffs, and he's going to be he's going to be a guy they're going to try and bring back. So we'll see how that goes
now,
going forward.
Like, here's the thing. I'm not trying to spend anyone else's money or take money away from anybody.
Right.
I don't know the player that we've seen over the last 5 years is a player that is more than a minimum player, really. Right. But that's what he's going to get. And he has all Zadidas money. He just came off a max deal. Well, it was a max deal when he signed it at the time.
Right.
Do we really need to give him more than the minimum?
No.
Like, the general we.
Right. Don't need to give him that. Like, and to me, I just feel like if he wants more than that, if it's me, and again, it's not me.
Put me down as a reference, Derek, and see you later, is what I would say if I were Tibbs, but that won't happen.
Yeah, like, if he thinks he's supposed to get more than the minimum, than the veteran minimum, I'm sorry. See you later. All due respect.
It took him less than 2 weeks to get hurt when he was here.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe part of that was...
That's the other part of it, too.
Coming off, aside from the sabbatical that he took to decide if he still wanted to play basketball, and then getting hurt earlier in the season in Cleveland. I mean, there's just so much risk in that sense, too.
Yeah.
We all know this. Why am I talking about this again?
Yeah, exactly. All right, and with that, we're going to vacate. But yeah,
Dwight got bought out. Nobody likes playing with Dwight.
Right. How about that? I mean, that's just... You know,
this next season's going to mark his fifth year since he's been an All-Star.
Who's he? You know where he's going to go. He's going to end up in Golden State.
Oh, yeah.
For the minimum.
He's going to bring down the dynasty from the inside.
Wouldn't that be something if Dwight Howard ends up being the guy who just crumbles the royal empire that is the Golden State Warriors?
They have JaVale McGee and Nick Young, and then you add Dwight, and then the House of Cards.
That's just my thing. Like, you have JaVale McGee, and you figure if Dwight Howard, if you know, and this is all hypothetical, but if you're JaVale McGee can do all the same things for the Warriors that Dwight Howard in theory would do. So I wouldn't even get the idea of them signing him.
Yeah, but. And he doesn't take his teammates off to no end, as far as we know.
Could you imagine Dwight signing with the Warriors and then complaining about touches and his role in the team?
How long until the first, like, he would...
I dare him to do that. Oh, my God.
Oh, Kurt blast him. Or just starting a fight between KD and Draymond.
Yeah.
That would be the one. That would be the one.
All right. You can find the Raised by Wolves podcast at iTunes. Just search Raised by Wolves. You can find us on podcast1.com and, of course, 1500ESPN.com. Yeah, we had to get our Dwight Howard cheap shots in. We couldn't help ourselves. 5 teams in 7 years, I think this would be. Unbelievable. Man. All right.
Yeah.
We're out of here. For Derek, I'm Manny. Off-season's here. Enjoy it. And we'll talk to you next time on Raised by Wolves.